The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Hello, Dirtfish Rally friends, and welcome back to Spin the Rally Pod. What a week we have in front of us. The most hotly anticipated rally of the year for an awful lot of people. It's Rally Finland week, isn't it? So to discuss Rally Finland and various other, well, things that are going on in rally world this week, it's myself, Colin Clark, and as always joining us, our head of media at Dirtfish is David Evans. Very good morning, David.
Good morning. Just a quick point of order. What was that? What was Lisa's excuse today? Show jumping.
Is it show jumping?
That's a new one.
Unacceptable.
That is a new one. And not just show jumping. Show jumping in France.
Yeah.
What's that all about?
What is that all about?
We'll find out. We'll find out in future episodes, that's for sure. Yeah. But you heard a little voice there in the background. Lisa might not be here, but George Donaldson is, as always, with us this morning. George, good morning. How are things up in Scotland this morning?
Good morning, Colin. Wet, actually. Yesterday was quite nice. It was actually very pleasant. I was sitting out in the garden. Actually, I was gardening, which I hate doing. So it's about one or two days a year where I have to garden. But I put a chair out so I could sit in the shade for a while too, which ended up being quite a lot longer than the gardening was, I suspect. But there you go. Some gardening got done. The heavy work got done. So that was good. But
George,
just look, it's Finland week. It's exciting.
How'd you get away with one or two days gardening a year with a garden your size?
It must be like
a jungle.
No, it doesn't. There's quite a lot of grass, but the way it is, you know, the grass comes into the borders, and then my wife has planted lots of sort of lovely plants that she thinks are lovely. I mean, for me, they're just plants that are sort of growing or not. But we've got she gets upset because the grass kind of moves into the borders a little bit, so she gets a bit excited about that. But for me, it kind of looks sort of natural. You got the nice mown lawn, and then the nice borders with lots of plants in them that just grow.
I'm so done with gardening.
You know, there's big. Yeah, exactly. I'm so done with gardening as well. But
it's absolute nonsense.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing your colourful weeds when I come up to Scotland in a few weeks' time.
It looks nice.
Good.
It's okay.
Boys, talking about colourful plants, David Evans. Mm. It's always a lovely time of year, isn't it, to go to Finland? Because colourful weeds, Finland's got loads. What do we call them? We had this debate, didn't we?
Those purple things. Lupins.
And there are different... Are they lupins? George, are they lupins that line the banks of the side of the road in Finland?
They're a variety of lupin, yes.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. It's always very, very pleasant at this time of year to drive around Finland and see the beautiful colour of the weeds. But, David, we will be there in a day or two's time. I started off by saying it's the most hotly anticipated rally of the year. Do you know what? I think it probably is, isn't it?
It is. Just briefly back to lupins. I think they're commonly known as lupinus. They're a genus of plants in the legume
family. Quite clearly on Google. No credibility for that at all, David. Just shut up. Get
commonly
on with rally.
Known.
It's Finland Rally Week.
Yeah, no,
who cares
true.
About
Sorry.
Lupins? We've
Lupinus.
Got massive
Nobody
leaps, the
cares
most poetic
about...
of roads.
Yeah.
The most
it is,
gorgeous.
It is poetry. Unbelievably exciting, as ever. In some ways, Col, it does kind of get diluted a little bit by Estonia, or not diluted. Maybe Estonia warms us up for Finland. But I remember before pre-Estonia, as a WRC round, there was always just an inordinate amount of excitement coming towards Finland. You know, it would build up for weeks towards this point. And now, you know, the build-up includes Estonia. So you include seeing rally cars at 120 miles an hour or whatever. So you're kind of slightly more accustomed to it, which we never were. In the olden days, there was never another super, super fast kind of Nordic or Baltic round of the championship. But Finland is always, will always be the number one speed fest, festival of speed of the season. It's great. Can't wait.
Yeah. George?
Well, I mean, look, four out of the nine drivers, nearly 50%, are Finnish in the World Rally Cars.
Ooh,
what can I say? There's where the excitement comes from. Those guys are all rapidly wanting to win, apart from probably Jari Matti Latvala, who I did actually give him a driver briefing. I'm one of the few drivers, one of the few people that's ever managed to give Jari Matti Latvala some form of strategy for an event. I'm going to boast about that. Well, I'm not going to boast about it. I'm just going to say it. There you are. It's not a boast. It's
when was it, and what was the strategy?
The strategy was it was at the 2006 PWRC when he got dropped back into doing production championship.
Yeah.
Was that 2006 or 2007? Yeah. I think it was six.
I can't remember.
Six, I think it was, George. Yeah, it was six.
Six. And he had a shaky start with a car problem, and then he proceeded to be the fastest driver, but kept binning it, basically. Everyone, he didn't bin it, he just destroyed the car. So by the third event, I was asked, after the third event, I was asked to take over his sort of management on the events. And I basically just read him the Riot Act and said, look, you know, it was after Argentina where he came back leading by a minute after the first lap. And I said to him, you know, what are you doing? He said, well, you know, everything's going smoothly. I said, you're taking too much out of the car. If you're leading by a minute, you know, there's a minute's worth, and there's 59 seconds worth of preservation you've lost in that car that you could have had. And of course, he came back with a broken car a couple of stages later. He broke it. But then the last three events we did, he really got it, and we did amazingly well.
I don't think it's going to be a tricky one for Jari Matti, this one. I think what's really interesting is talking to him about, because he's testing. We're recording today, Monday, and he is doing his one day of testing today, which you can just imagine. He will be absolutely in his element. I sent him a message last night saying, enjoy today, and he just sent me the biggest, smiliest emoji you've ever seen. But he's actually using the day, or using the event, to a really good kind of purpose. He's going to drive a day with Tacker's setup, a day with Elvin, and a day with Calais, just to experience and feel what the car's doing. So it is, you know, he's going to have some fun, but he's not under any.
That's an interesting.
Isn't it?
I read that and thought it was interesting, but then I thought, you know, is there value in that for Jari?
Oh, yeah. Crikey, yes.
Is there, George?
Yeah. Massive, Colin. Massive.
For his
massive
understanding and comprehension. Sorry.
I thought
these guys keep changing. These guys change, as we well know. You know, Elvin Evans still doesn't know what his setup is. Takamoto is searching for a setup. You know, the only one who you could say, if you drive his setup, is probably just Calais' setup, because he's the one that seems most comfortable with it. I don't know. I understand where he's coming from in saying that, but I kind of think, wouldn't it be better for him just to drive three solid days, just understanding the car, not trying to understand each driver's setup, which we know is completely individual and changes from rally to rally. I don't know. I like the idea, but I'm not sure.
Colin, so much as I hate to ever contradict anything you've ever said, the important role for Jari Matti is to instill strategy and understand what the drivers are wanting, and then coax them to deliver that performance. And you know, he's got two drivers that really do need that, or not need it, but will benefit from that type of help, Elfyn Evans and Taka, obviously. So if he can drive their setup and then compare it to the other setup, that's massive. You've got to think back to Tommy Mäkinen, four-time world champion, four times on the trot, drove a Subaru for a while as well, was very, very quick in that at times. But in his biggest successes occurred when he had a test driver who drove all the setups and all the options of a car to try and optimise them, to figure out what was quickest, and then deliver that to Tommy, who then drove it, tweaked it a little bit, and confirmed that was the quickest. That was the most massive thing. The value of what Jari Matti's doing, if it's successful, I'm not saying he's the man that can do it, but the process and the methodology is brilliant. And if they can really do that, I mean, the feedback that Jari Matti can give to Tom Fowler is probably the biggest thing. Yeah. So he can say, this is what Kylie's car is doing, this is what Elfin's car is doing to me, and this is what Taka's car is doing to me. That will enable Tom Fowler and his team. I tell you what, talk about a leg up.
George,
massive.
I think it's enormously ambitious. And it is, by the way, completely the opposite to what you're saying Tommy did, from what I can understand from what you've said.
Well, it's sort of the same.
What is it? We've got two drivers who, as we've said, are both still searching to find really that sweet spot with the Yaris Rally 1. And, you know, we're 18, 19 months into the Yaris Rally 1 now. They're searching. They're still struggling. You go with their setup for a loop of stages, and remember, he's only there for one rally, and you can't drive the car. Where is the value in that? Where is the value in that? Is it not better to go with this? Is he not?
What do you mean he can't drive the car? What do you mean by that?
Well, it's very possible, George, that, well, he goes out, well, as we've seen from a number of drivers, they go out with a certain setup, and they say the car's undrivable.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it just doesn't suit. Yari Matti, as we know, you know, we're talking about Yari Matti and comparing him to a different generation of driver. Now, what I find interesting...
Comparing him to Lassie Lampe. That's cool. I like that.
But he's a different generation, you know. Thanks, David. That helps. That helps my thought process. You know I like to be interrupted because I lose my thought process. Thanks, David.
Can I contribute to your thought process?
Different generation of driver with a very different driving style. Now, he was very much looking forward to the Rally 1 concept. I remember talking to him before he retired from driving full-time and took the job up as team principal at Toyota. And he said, yeah, I'd like to come back with Rally 1 because that will suit my driving style. Now, for me, it's better to work on that and say, yeah, let's find out what suits this about my driving style and see whether or not I can actually usefully use my experience, my style, to offer advice to two drivers who are struggling. Rather than taking their setups, potentially not being able to drive the car, and actually finding out very little. I don't get it.
Colin, the setup is tweaks, and we know that tweaking for the for each driver's setup can radically change the car. But in broad terms, you know, Elfyn Evans still looking for the sweet spot. You know, the guy's putting in, you know, top three performances pretty well every rally now, and he's only just that tiny little margin off the top pace. You know, it's considerably. I mean, what is it? It's you know, a third of a second a kilometre. If it's even
Could I just jump in and propose we move on from what is going to be the tail end Charlie of the Rally One cars, and let's look towards the pointed end.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
I totally applaud what Yari Matti's doing, as you've revealed to me, Colin.
We just moved on from Yari Matti. We've moved
on. I totally applaud it, that's what I'm saying. We've moved on from that. David, stop harking back to it. Let's move on, David.
Right, let's move on then. Let's move on.
What is the last word?
So let's talk about the pointed end. Let's talk about the pointed end and who might win this one. Let's just talk about a few factors that may play into it. The weather. The weather has been, if you're listening to this from the UK, really
has been
anywhere
fabulous
in the northern parts of Europe, it's been so cold and so wet for the past month. Seems that Finland's had very similar weather. I expect the roads to be a bit softer and an awful lot damper than maybe we've been used to over the last few years. Now, whose hands might that play into, David Evans?
Whose hands might that play into?
I don't know.
A driver likes to take a risk in
slippery, muddy conditions.
I was just thinking, though, do we get better drainage? I think the roads drain a bit better in Finland, so maybe they dry out a little bit quicker as well than the roads.
David, you're 100% right in your thought process on the big roads. It's the small
roads
that worry me. Small roads that really worry me.
Yeah, exactly. And just looking, oh my lord. Oh, crikey. Have you seen the weather forecast?
It's thunderstorms.
It is, yeah, and just yes. bucketing down
thunderstorms,
every day.
Thunderstorms, but there's sunshine every day as well. But this is, and then Saturday, look, Sunday,
George,
just
here's the thing,
back
George, let
showers.
Me tell you. I watched the BBC weather yesterday. Mm-hmm. And it was quite, I don't know if anyone else has noticed this recently. If you watch the BBC weather now, the weather presenters, the blokes, a little bit too casual in my liking in terms of their dressing.
Anyway, I think that's a Sunday point. Thing. It's a weekend thing.
Maybe it's a Sunday thing. So it was Thomas Schaffernacker, who's normally very, very good.
Lovely bloke. I like Thomas.
And he talked about it as a slightly more detailed weather view for Britain. Mm-hmm. And there's this enormous weather front, a trough heading towards the UK to absolutely dump rain on Wednesday. And he said, it's okay. By Thursday, Friday, it'll have moved off, and he moved the graphic forward. And where did it sit Thursday into Friday?
Right over Pavilionki.
Right over central Finland. Right over central Finland. So that weather that we're going to get here Wednesday is moving towards Jyväskylä, David, which could play a fair old part in proceedings this week.
100%. But I think everybody is, in terms of being weather ready, they're all weather ready. Probably you'd say Toyota are more weather ready than anybody else because they've done... Oh, no, in fairness, M Sport did it as well with Pierre-Louis Loubet. They did the Tampere rally, which the name of which escapes me. A one-dayer on Saturday based out of Tampere. A small national round, a warm-up event, and it absolutely lashed it down all day. So, you know, and they... I think Toyota tested the day before as well in the rain, so they have a lot of data. Current data for running the car in the rain. But as to who that would suit better, you can't say pick one driver.
First car on the road is going to suit better. It's
a combination of things. It's first car on the road, and it's what we know about Robin Perra in the rain. Yeah. You know, Robin Perra in the rain, in the slippery conditions, in unpredictable conditions where, as we've said it many times, the other drivers perhaps see danger, see threats.
He sees opportunity.
I think it plays into his hands.
But will he see opportunity?
Be good for Elfin as well. He likes wet and muddy. And you remember, if it's going to be as wet and muddy as the forecast could suggest it might be,
it's a Rally
Finland
GB.
Finland stages become really horribly slippy. Exactly, David, like Rally GB. They get really, really tricky.
But
big puddles. Elfin would also do very well.
I do wonder how much Calais will risk, though. He's been very, very clear that he has a big lead in the championship. He is not going to prioritise winning Rally Finland this year. That can wait. It's all about the championship. So it may be where ordinarily he might see opportunity. He will see a little bit more risk and he will throttle back. I don't know. Equally, he could argue just as vehemently against that point because he's never done that. You know, he's always been the driver that will push on. So let's wait and see. But for me, the guy to watch here is going to be Tanak. We've seen that Tanak is a driver who will come in fueled by pure anger and frustration at everything that went on last weekend or the weekend before in Estonia. He's the danger guy for me. And the fact that he decided not to do that event in Tampere, Loubet got the car instead of him. It kind of demonstrates that, Oit is never the kind of driver who will throw the towel in. I think that he's in a place where he's ready with the car now. And there's some small steps coming with the car. He demonstrated last year that he can make up. He can bring that extra 5-10% to the package that a lot of drivers can't in Finland. You look at what he did in a Hyundai that had no business being anywhere near the front of the field. And he won with it last year. You know, the M Sport car is a good step on from that, the Puma. So for me, Tanak is the one to watch.
But here's the thing, David, and I didn't dare ask him. The thought instantly popped into my mind when I talked to him at the end of Estonia. But I asked him about missing this event in Finland at the weekend.
Yeah.
And he went, no point. I'm up to speed. But, earlier on in the week, he'd said to me the reason he was so fast on day one was because he'd done this event beforehand, before Estonia. So what I wanted to say to him was, you've told us all week, as has every driver, Finland is different from Estonia. It is different. It's a different surface, different characteristic. You know, in terms of the shape of the roads, they're different. You get the rolling jumps, the real high-speed rolling jumps. You've told us on day one the only reason you've won 6 out of 8 stages is because you did this warm-up event. You're now telling us you don't think it's worth doing the warm-up event for Finland. I found that a little bit odd. I didn't dare ask him why, to be honest with you, because I've got, you know, he scared the hell out of me in Estonia at times. He really did. But is that not a little contradictory?
But I think that's where Reut is right now. I think in some ways he is contradicting himself, and I think he's just saying whatever words need to be said to get rid of people like you and I, Cole. Because he doesn't, and not meaning this in a bad way, he doesn't want us in his headspace right now.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't want to answer our questions. There's a lot of negativity around, and I'm sure at some point it's going to start creating issues in the team that we're that portal, if you like, for him to be critical of the team. We feel it's unfair, the criticism, 100% unfair, but it's happening. So, you know, maybe if he doesn't talk to us, he doesn't get into trouble. But he could also open his mouth and say positive things.
Platitudes, but we don't want to hear those, do we? But we've heard them plenty of times from plenty of others.
I'm not sure they're platitudes, Cole, because I think, you know, the car is not far away. The car's there. You know, you can't do those 6 fastest times.
Yeah.
In a car that's a million miles away. He looks more comfortable at speed with this car than he did in the Hyundai last year. You know, remember last year in Finland, there was moment after moment. And he wrestled that car to the finish. I don't think he'd have to do that at all with the Puma.
I agree totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's interesting.
I would say his comments totally counter that, don't they? I mean, he's you know, what he says is this, you know, this car's a bag of bones, is what he says. Is there's no suspension in it. You know, I forget his term that he used for it, basically, or, you know, calling it a skateboard with no suspension. I mean, which is clearly not the case, but it's obviously also not the car that necessarily Hyundai or Toyota is in terms of perhaps that ultimate suspension adjustment that he's looking for. Which, you know, he's quite right. That's not a driver preference. That's a requirement, actually. Sorry. It absolutely is. And it is a dropped ball any way you look at it. Sorry to say that. But, you know, he's quite clearly managing it. And you can look at the in-car footage, as I do, you know, to analyse that out. And I don't think he's wrong in what he's saying at all. That's not incorrect. So whether he's got the full package to be able to really push these guys from the front, I think we'll see something pretty special. But will it be ultimately enough? Well, with Cali on a clear championship, not taking the last risk concept. But again, if he wakes up on the right side of the bed and it's just all automatic, he'll just say, "Well, actually, I'm not taking chances here. It's coming to me."
Here's one for you. How much does Elfyn Evans need a win?
Every driver needs a win every event. And the guy's won a rally this year. And look at his, in terms of his career, he's not going to get sacked or anything. You know, he's not about to lose his job. What's the concern? He is not about to lose his job.
No. The concern is almost self-confidence, George, and the appreciation. Yes, he won Croatia. Massively different. Probably couldn't be a more different event to what he's going to in Finland. He's won Finland before. But for me, he's still, and in Estonia, he still looked like the driver that was right on the edge of getting the last piece of the jigsaw. And it just kept avoiding him. He just kept turning a piece over, and it wasn't quite that one, and it wasn't quite this one. And I feel if he could win in Finland, and you took that as a negative, but actually the question was meant in a positive way.
Yeah.
I think if he wins here, that could be the springboard.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
David, we said the same thing after Sweden. We said the same thing. We said, you know, he's turned the corner. This is it. This is what allows him now to push on. You know, he's discovered something, and it turns out it was a little bit of a false dawn, wasn't it, from Sweden? Because, you know, since then he has struggled to refine the pace that he had in Sweden. I agree with you. I think it's really, really important that he takes the win. But, I'll not be putting a single euro on Elvin winning. Elvin, for me, is top four at best, I think, this weekend. Top four at best. I think he really struggled again in Estonia to find that. And as George says, it's not a million miles off, the top pace, but it's consistent. He consistently lacks pace. He's not even showing us.
Colin,
flashes, struggle
with the lack pace business. That's the wrong word.
Didn't I say lacked ultimate pace? Ultimate pace, I think,
ultimate
is what
pace,
I said.
Perhaps.
Yeah. So you know, sure. I didn't say he lacked pace. You know, clearly he doesn't lack pace.
Sorry.
He lacks ultimate pace. And you know, if he's putting in two or three really blinding times in a rally, you see, he gets there. It's there, but it's that consistent. You know, when you compare these time. With Esa Pekka, okay, he occasionally beat Esa Pekka by a tenth, two tenths, but over the piste, Esa Pekka was consistently quicker. And you wouldn't have expected that. You really wouldn't have expected that at the start of the year, not on these faster rallies. Nothing to do with Esa Pekka, more to do, I suppose, with the Hyundai. But I don't know. I think Elvin still has a little way to go. As you say, it could just be a light bulb moment at some point, but it does worry me. That we're finding now a consistent lack of the ultimate pace, and you know, where does it come? Where does he find it? He's tried everything. Where does he find it?
But how do you know he's tried everything?
Style?
How do you know he's not still working his way through?
I've read the stuff that you've written.
I haven't said that he's tried everything.
Well, you wrote a big piece at the start of the year with Tom Fowler saying that we've made changes and this, that, and the other, and he's tried various different things. Okay, fair enough. He's probably not tried everything as yet, but he's tried the obvious things, I guess.
Different drivers have different styles, Colin, and Elfin's style is you know, the insights that we get from the coverage we have shows Elfin to be a very different driver to most of the other drivers. Actually, I mean, he's very intense. He's driving every meter of the road is being re-evaluated second to second, whereas the other drivers just seem to be, you know, turning in, focusing away down the road, whereas Elfin is working it very hard. That reminds me absolutely of Carlos Sainz. Carlos Sainz drove exactly the same way, and there are other drivers that drove like that as well. Didi Auriol tended to be a bit like that as well, not quite as intense as Carlos, but he was quite natural in one way, but the way that he approached every corner was quite radically different, and you know, very evaluating throughout to alter the approach. So I mean, it just might be that we're just seeing that that's what Elfin, that's how he drives. And sometimes it'll come good, and sometimes it won't, and that's the nature of his style and ability. And it's
he won in a wet one, though, didn't he?
He
won the autumn one.
I think it was. That's right.
It was a great performance, a great performance that.
But it was a different car, wasn't it? And he said himself,
it was a car that he'd got used to winning in and competing at the very, very, very top in it, hadn't he?
Yeah.
Sorry,
Dave, go on.
Just very quickly, last one, though. So we've seen that some drivers struggle to win in cars, but cars can evolve, cars can change. Thierry Neuville for the win.
Yeah. I wouldn't put it past it, David, because what a confidence boost the guy must have had. In Estonia, absolutely amazing, and I mean, I don't think he expected that at all. He just drove his event, and wow, look what happened!
And he's got so much more experience in Finland.
Yeah.
Do you know what was the big surprise for me about Estonia was maybe not so much his pace, because they had signposted it rather well, hadn't they? That they had this great test and that they were expecting great things. It's the fact he was again consistently quicker than Lappi. Lappi was the man who more or less pushed them in the direction, the right direction, with the setup and the testing. He was the one that, for me, you take out, I think, one or two results this year, and Lappi is the one who's been the top performer in Hyundai. what was really encouraging from Thierry's point of view was that he was quicker, a lot quicker than Lappi. Okay, Lappi had issues on the first morning, but you know, I think he's got a lot. It's an interesting one. You know, Neuville, Tanak, Rovanperä. Do you chuck Lappi into that mix as well for the win?
You have to for me.
I think you have to, don't you? You know, crumbs. You know, it's a difficult one to call.
There's another one that's won here before, hasn't he?
How many? Six? Would you believe it's 6 years ago now? It was 2017, wasn't it?
Yeah.
2017.
Ridiculous.
6 years ago.
That is his only win, isn't it? Yeah. I'm right in saying that. Yeah.
Yes. Wow. Yeah.
It was only his fourth rally, I think, in a World Rally car as well. Yeah. It was quite remarkable. It was the heralding of the new generation, but it just never went his way, really. I think it'd be great to see Lappi. I'd love to see him winning. Here, just one more thing about Rovanperä, guys. What do we think? George, you might be able to answer this better. You know, we saw, you know, whenever Tommi Mäkinen came to Rally Finland, just the most incredible circus around Rally Finland. And I don't know whether that affected Mäkinen's approach to Rally Finland, but I kind of get the feeling that Rovanperä, last year for sure, it kind of got to him a little bit. He didn't get a second to himself. Just wherever he went, it was proper superstar status. It was press interest. It was, and I get the feeling it distracted him. He goes home to Jyväskylä, and he wants to chill out with his mates. He wants to take his summer car out for a drive and go for an ice cream on a Friday night. That's what he does when he goes to Jyväskylä normally in the summertime. And it was just so intense, the interest in him last year. What do we think? Do we think that that's something that maybe affects or might affect his approach, his performance? I don't know.
I think it always does. And I mean, you know, there's many catalogued reports of drivers being very, very badly affected by that and going out of their way to avoid it, to get to the right headspace that they need. If that's an issue for Kalle, he will have voiced it. The team will have understood that. And 6'4" Hans, the PR, the Toyota PR man, for those that don't know him, who's a fabulously lovely man, who goes out of his way to make sure everyone gets access, will be going out of his way to make sure that only the right people get access, and that Kalle has a free run at it, you know. But look, it's only a few days. It's only a couple of days. You know, you do the recce, you're on your own, basically, you know, on the stages. And you know, Kalle knows how to avoid. You know, he doesn't need to stop where everyone else stops. They can get private if he needs to. At the same time, he'll make himself approachable to fans. I think the rain will help. It means that people aren't standing out so much, or you're not actually standing out yourself so much because you're hiding from the rain. If you're made like me, if you're made of sugar and such a sweet, lovely thing, you'll dissolve in the rain.
But I
so you'll avoid that, you know.
I reckon we are seeing a slight change in Kalle as well. It's not a slight change, and it's not just starting now. We've seen it over the last year that he's developing into a world champion kind of mentality of, you know, when you start your interview, you know very much that the interview has started, and he's a driver who controls interviews. And he'll tell you when the interview's finished. And that's not a bad thing, but you get the young drivers that come along and they'll just keep talking and talking and talking. Mm. Whereas Kalle knows where your questions are going, he knows what his answers are, and he'll give you them very politely, very nicely, and then he's gone. And he's developed a way with the media that is very good. We've seen Elvin do it as well. You know, the way that Elvin finishes his sentences now, it's like, that's your last question. And again, it's done very politely, but it's a way that we saw it, you know, people like Carlos, Colin McRae, Bernsey, they all had that ability. I'm not sure that Tommy ever did. I think Tommy was just too nice, and Tommy always just wanted to keep on talking. But Kalle has now got that aura around him and that ability to kind of dominate his own space. So it will be a distraction to have lots of people around, but like you say, Big Hans and Toyota will have kind of procedures in place to protect him from people. And it is tricky because the driver's hotel is right in the centre of the service park in Pavlionki. And when you walk outside, there are literally thousands of people waiting to see you. But I'm sure they'll find a back way. There's a back door through the car park. through the multi-story out the back.
So yeah, tell everyone, David. Just tell everyone where it is, David. Do you want to put a GPS location on that as well?
There's the underground passages as well. There's the escape routes underground. Your basket is filled with them, did you not know?
So, yeah, that's very true. So if anybody's thinking that he might disappear out the back through the garage, he's not going to do that at all. So definitely don't wait around there. Sorry, Hans.
Yeah. And by the way, we just have to mention that Hans, award-winning PR, big Hans,
indeed.
Award-winning. We have to mention that again because he did win an award.
I didn't know he'd won an award. Tell us about the award.
I didn't realise they had one. Was it? Was it?
It was the
top
best
PR person.
Exactly, the best PR person at Goodwood Festival of Speed. And bearing in mind, you know, there's a whole world of Formula One and all that nonsense at Goodwood Festival of Speed. And it was WRC's own big Hans de Bow that took the award. So good on you, Hans. We always knew that it was award winning.
Ali, exactly.
Yeah, no. Top man. Before...
Okay, so interesting, boys. Normally we'd wait till the end of the podcast to ask for a 1-2-3 for Finland, but I'm going to ask now just so that our listeners have a chance to cogitate on it while we do the rest of the podcast, and then they can leave a little note underneath and tell us their 1-2-3s. But George, 1-2-3 then for Finland.
Okay. Oh, jeez. Right. I'll be outrageous because, you know, everyone knows I'm outrageous and I'm not very good at guessing, but just occasionally I do really well. Timo Suninen, number one.
Oh, jeez.
Elfyn Evans, number two. Thierry Neuville, number three.
Oh, that's interesting.
And I don't want you to think I'm disengaged, but that's just a wish list, if you like. Like Timo.
Right. Yeah. Well, that would be nice.
Good, great
not
road position.
Not impossible.
If it's dry on the first day, you could make a huge advantage.
Not impossible. David?
I'm going with a much more realistic Ott Tänak to win, Elfyn Evans to be second, and Calle Rovanperä third. All within 10 seconds.
Yeah, I would hasten to say that my top 10 will be within 15 seconds. I'll go.
That's interesting. The wet weather maybe stretched that out a little bit. If it had been dry, I'd have said close as close can be. We might see some bigger gaps with the wet weather. I am going to go with Rovanperä because he is the mud maestro. There's no question he's the mud maestro. It is an easy one, isn't it, to call as Rovanperä, but I think he will. Then
good
I'm going to go Neuville.
Good shout. Yeah.
Thanks, mate. Thanks. It's insights, George. Insights.
Yeah. You're so intelligent.
But I'm not going to take silly ones like I've made this mistake before. I'm not going to castigate you until we see the result. Neuville second for me, and I'm going to go with the same result as Estonia. Yeah, I'm going to go with Rovanperä, Neuville, and Esa-Pekka Lappi. We'll see what happens there.
That's a pretty strong shout, that one.
No.
Let's face it. People have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number smart beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number smart beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Listen, here, now boys, here's a great little segue. You know, we're talking about really close time gaps. Did anyone watch the ERC from Rome at the weekend?
Mm. Yes.
Or stage 12, it was astonishing how close the top three Italians were.
Yeah.
Incredible, quite incredible. There was a handful of seconds between the three of them. It was quite some battle. It all kind of got turned on its head. I think it was on stage 11, wasn't it? Maybe stage 12 of the rally. But do you know what? I followed it more than I have done your recent ERC events. Could I just say,
Cole, are you sure you were watching this year's event? Because Andrea Crignola did win every stage on Saturday and built a 20-second lead.
Yeah, but it was incredibly close. It was incredibly close up until about that point. I may have been looking at the wrong thing then. But what I was watching looked incredibly close.
It was close. I mean, by the end...
about the three Italians, though, aren't I?
Yes and no. There were two Italians.
Who's the third one?
Craniola and Basso were 1-2. Yes.
But hang on.
Sorry,
let me
right.
just check. Go on. You talk like
Campadelli was in there. You know, there were plenty of Italians in there. And it was, you know, it was very close. But it was always, for me, these events, we saw it a few years ago when we went to Rome. They are... It's a difficult event for an outsider to go to, and the locals know the events really well. So it was always going to be one where someone like Craniola or Basso was going to win, and it was great to see. You know, Basso, Ida Wood, one of our great writers here at Dirtfish, was saying that Basso's their childhood hero. So it's amazing. Yeah. Somebody who grew up watching IRC, so... Lovely to see Basso doing well. Great result for Craniola. I think first ever European Championship win for him. But for me, Cole, the story was there was one driver there who goes there with the championship in mind. And once again, Hayden Paddon absolutely doesn't struggle to start with, but plays himself in, finds his feet, bang, on the podium at the finish, opens an even bigger lead in the European Championship. I've done a little bit of maths here. Coming into this event, for the last 16 rallies that he'd done, Paddon, he'd finished first or second on all but two of them. And one of those that he didn't finish first or second was New Zealand WRC last year, where he was sixth overall.
Remarkable.
Isn't it? Yeah. Just brilliant
but
consistency.
Here's the thing, but it goes back to George's point, you know, about intelligent drivers.
Yeah,
because
100%.
You look at that car, right? And that car... If you had the choice of Rally 2 cars, you, for tarmac in particular...
You wouldn't go with that.
The last one, and it's been plagued with problems, with setup problems, mm-hmm. with reliability problems, with problems of pace, to be quite frank with you. And he's come and done every event, David, and he's been on the podium on every event in the ERC this year, hasn't he?
Yep, absolutely.
That absolutely goes back to the point George was making about Jari Matti, which is about management, about managing your rallies, managing your campaigns. And it's quite remarkable that he's getting as much as he's getting out of that car. Quite remarkable.
It is. And that he's that sort of driver, though. He's a driver that understands the engineering balance and mechanical... Everything, every mechanical aspect of the car. You know, he's built the car himself, not that precise car, because of course that car's run by a European team. But he gets it, and he just knows how to win a championship. He's won the New Zealand Championship. Having said that, he's done that by winning every round in New Zealand for about the last 15 years or something. But it's great, and it's really, really good to see. And just a final point from me, because I know you've got a dash, Cole. We have to whiz back across the pond and talk about what happened in Snoqualmie at Dirtfish HQ over the weekend. It was Rallycross Fest 2023. If you missed a single second of it, I urge you to go back and watch on Dirtfish Live Center. Saturday, Sunday were both covered from every possible angle. It was Rallycross over there is a different thing to us. Essentially what it was a single venue rally. On the gravel, on the loose in the 315 acres that is Dirtfish Central. It was amazing. I couldn't tell you who won because there are so many different classes. But what I can tell you is the weather was amazing. Everybody, 220 competitors. I mean, that's a proper number.
That is a proper number.
I mean, David, hats off not just the competitors, hats off to the organisers for making that work on a single rally event, 220 cars.
Yeah.
My goodness me.
Yeah.
What
are they doing, 10-second starts, 30-second starts at worst, I guess?
There are two stages running at once. It's really clever, though, what they do. So they're divided into three groups. So if you're in group whatever, you spend a third of your time competing, a third of your time resting, and a third of your time essentially being an official, so marshalling and helping out. So each loop you either compete, you have downtime, or you're official, and it's mega.
Can we call that the best rally in the world? Can we?
We can call it the best rallycross event in the world.
Yeah. Well, it's not that really rallycross, is it? It's a cross between rallycross, auto tests, autocross, single venue.
And it's, you know, like you say, Cole, hats off to everybody, to Katie and everybody from Northwest Rallycross Association. They were amazing. But also, hats off to everybody who ran Dirtfish Live Centre. We saw loads of Michelle Miller on the mic doing the interviewing. Superb. Just great to see lots of people from Dirtfish doing different things. And jumping in, of course, Jack Harrison and Brenton Kelly were in the thick of it as well. Just a great production, and definitely go back, have another look on dirtfish.com. And it's so cool that what we do here at Dirtfish covers every aspect of the sport. We've gone from WRC in Estonia to Northwest Rallycross Association in Snoqualmie, and we're on to Finland next. You know, where else do you get a website that gives the same coverage to those three events? So no, it's great. Sorry to blow our own trumpet a little bit there.
I think it's a trumpet well worth blowing, David. Absolutely. Categorically. Yeah.
And it's worth, again, just clarifying rallycross, because instantly people think rallycross circuits, lots of cars at the same time. It was way more than that. Way different from that. Wonderful event. Boys, any other business before we wrap things up this morning?
We're already 6 minutes late. You said we had to go back by 15.
No. 9:25 was my deadline.
Oh, was it? Oh, sorry.
Yeah. I did wonder why you were wrapping up so early, David.
I thought you said 15. Oh, crikey, we've got 4 minutes of filling to do.
What will we talk about?
The sad passing of Manfred Hiemer.
Yes. Very sad. I didn't know Manfred, David, but you and George would have had lots of, I'm sure, rallies with him.
Personally, I didn't know him more than a shake of the hand and a good morning, but always a massively charming fella. And a lovely guy. You know, I didn't know him terribly well at all, sadly. Did you know him, George?
I was much the same, David.
Very sad. But
yeah.
I guess the last word has to go back to Finland, doesn't it? That it is. Yeah. That now we've started talking about it, I think, you know, you get into this kind of this space where you're just writing and you're going through the motions, and you know, there was an awful lot of news that followed on from Estonia, and you get through that, but now we are really into it, and the recce starts tomorrow, and you can just imagine that the centre of Evaskula is building, and the centre of Evaskula does provide a significant amount of entertainment across the weekend itself. We'll try and bring you on Dirtfish Live Centre a flavour of that. The entertainment, it evolves in nature as the day passes. You have just massive enthusiasm throughout the day with the local radio station being played across the main street and everything. Everybody lives for the rally. And then as the evening time comes, it just gets even more entertaining. Do you remember those ladder things that you used to, the ladder that was, it was like a spinning ladder that was at a sort of 45 degree angle that you used to have to try and climb the ladder. And as you were climbing the ladder at a 45 degree angle, it would spin around. And health and safety has probably intervened slightly, but you used to see some amount of carnage as people with a considerable amount of beer inside them would make an attempt at that. Cole, would you be having a go at that this week?
Nope. And I'll be leaving the sumo wrestling alone. I'll be leaving the lapping culta alone. I'll be leaving the...
I'm hoping you're going to hit our favourite Chinese, Colin.
I'll have a little bit of that, George, although it's takeaway only these days, which is very sad.
Really? They've done away with their seating. They're not putting it in specially for you.
Yeah, they seem to have done away with it, which is a real shame. But there's lots to look forward to, as you say, David. You know, the action on the stages, the action on the walking street, I think they call it, don't they?
Yeah.
In New Vascula, that pedestrian street. So, yeah, it's going to be great fun. One last thing, George and David, that photograph at the weekend, we discussed it before we started recording. That got me excited. That got me so excited. A wonderful photograph of Callie Rovanperä from that rally.
Where did you get the picture from, Cole?
It's everywhere. I did actually ask the guys if I could use it. It went on a certain website, but Toyota used it themselves. Callie Rovanperä used it himself. It just, for me, I've looked at it, and I kid you not, I've looked at it 1,000 times, and it's still makes me go back and look at it again. It's just rallying. You know, if you want to say rallying in one photograph, that says it for me. That absolutely says it. It's got everything. And the one thing, if you go and have a look, the photo's everywhere. It's Robin Perra. It's taken from a distance. It's got perspective. Robin Perra coming over a crest. The one thing it does really, really well is it shows you how steep some of these crests are, which is actually quite difficult to do in a photograph, to give perspective and to give this just how steep these kind of crests and rises are. It does all that, and it does it brilliantly, and it gets you excited. Gets me excited anyway.
There was a stage that did exactly that. There was a picture in Estonia where you could see the people sort of staggered going up the bank. And I can't remember which stage it was. Was it an early morning stage where the cars just sort of popped over the top and then the road just dropped away from beneath them? So I know exactly what you mean. Yeah. But yeah, I think we will try and repost that picture somehow on Dirtfish. So check our socials.
Or check Callie's socials as well.
Check ours first. Ones,
but yep. Yeah, check ours first, obviously. Obviously, David. But it's all there. Boys, it's been fun. It's been fun this morning. And it's certainly, if I wasn't already in the mood, I now very much am in the mood for Rally Finland. David, you're off tomorrow?
Well, I hope so, because you're picking me up.
Well, I'm meeting you somewhere.
Good point. Time of the morning, yes, we are definitely meeting. So I'll drop you a note about that. But yeah, we're on the same flight plan.
Just in case you decide you need me to join you guys, I think there still are direct flights, believe it or not, from Edinburgh to Helsinki.
Wow. It's very true that I think because Luke, our editor, dirtfish.com editor, is coming out. But he's going out via Copenhagen or somewhere else, returned only because the time doesn't work. Returning, he's straight back and probably gets to Edinburgh before we do, because you'd
yeah, shorter.
It's closer. Yeah, exactly. It's closer.
Yeah, it's 300 miles shorter. Yeah.
Well, it's going to be an awful lot of fun. We do have Luke with us, and we're looking forward to that this weekend in Jyväskylä. Folks, thank you very much. Don't forget 1, 2, 3. For Rally Finland. We'd love to hear your thoughts. A little comment in the comments section below. George, I'm looking forward to hearing your analysis next week. We'll see you there next week, George.
Looking forward to joining you for that, Colin. Absolutely. I shall be following everything, chapter and verse, every minute via our live centre. And I'm just wound up and ready to be super fan this weekend.
Wonderful. And David, looking forward to seeing you tomorrow morning.
Yeah, a little bit. Quite early.
Okay, that's not enthusiastic.
Make sure the coffee's nice and hot. Indeed, folks, you have been listening to Spin the Rally Pod. It's Rally Finland week. Enjoy.